the Epistle to Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. All has been settled. God has been satisfied. No need for anything more. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Maybe I read it. Let us hold fast the profession of hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now that's our reading. And the brethren would like this meeting finished at 5 to 7, so that those who are going away to bring their unsaved relatives will be free to go right away. Now I want to look at three great blessings that we find in chapter 10. Three great blessings are brought before us, and then I would like to look at four exhortations that are based on these blessings. Now all who read their Bible and come to Bible readings know that the subject closes, the subject of the first 10 chapters closes at verses 17 and 18. That's it, finished. The great problem has been settled. How to bring a people back to God. How to bring them into the presence of God. How to leave them there inside the veil. Not a settled. Settled by one mighty sacrifice. One who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. All is done. Everything is settled. God is satisfied inside the veil. It took the cross to bring us there. And when we turn to the next three chapters, we're all aware of the fact that it's outside the camp. And it was the death of Christ, and it was the cross that brought me inside the veil. And it's the cross and the rejection of Christ that brings me outside the camp. The three great blessings that I want to look at is boldness, freedom, confidence in our God, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh, the joy of it, the thrill of it, that I'm at perfect liberty to go to God. I've been brought there. I'm not rash. We are not acting in a foolish way. We revel in it. We delight in it. The practice of the presence of God. When I was a boy, I was given that little book, The Practice of the Presence of God. Oh, brethren, this is something that we have. We have boldness to enter into the holiest. The holiest, now we enter in perfect peace with God, regaining our lost center through Christ's atoning blood. Now quickly, we've got a new way. We've got a new way to enter, and it's a living way. It will always be new. It's really fresh. Always new. A new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. The incarnation and the death of Christ are the great things that dominate this section of our Bibles. In contrast to Israel's way, on the Day of Atonement, there was blood everywhere. There's at least 7 places where blood was splashed, right from the brazen altar, right into the presence of God. Everywhere there's blood sprinkled and splashed, right to the very mercy seat. That was their way. Our way is a new way. Our way is a living way. Our way has been consecrated for us. Our way is through Christ. We would need to stop for a minute or two, brethren, wouldn't we? Are my heart's affections really entwined around him? Do I really love him? How much he has done for me. He has brought me there, set me before God, and what a joy it is. Then, thirdly, we have a great high priest, or a high priest. We have a high priest, as we've been reminded, over the house of God. All one that we can depend on. One that loves us with a love that knows no measure, knows no bounds. Having a high priest. Let us leave the conference today. Or perhaps you'll be staying for the gospel meeting. I hope you will, but let us leave it thinking. Oh, what I have in Christ. Oh, what I have in that one who's now gone up on high and on the throne. Having a high priest over the house of God. There are 3 exhortations. I want to leave them with us. I want us to think of drawing near. This exhortation. Let us draw near. I don't take it that there's any exhortation in regard to our hearts sprinkled and our bodies washed. I take it that was done. I take it that those are in the past tense. Having had our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, having had our bodies, there's an inward and an outward purity. But we've got it. We have got it. So we have got this fitness. This fitness to be there. Then let us draw near. Let us draw near. In Israel's past history, they were afraid to draw near. At Mount Sinai, they trembled. Moses was afraid. Ah, but brethren, we draw near. I hope that we are able to appreciate some of the things that have been said this evening. The wonder is, to my own soul, that I'm not often enough in the sanctuary. The wonder to my own soul is that I have all this, and yet I live at such a low level. Let us draw near. Those that were drifting away, they're being encouraged now to draw near. Then let us hold fast. Let us hold fast the profession of hope. You can see that the 3 exhortations are based on faith and hope on love. We little understand the cruelty of satanic attack upon the confidence of the people of God in their God. Which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner has for us entered. Oh, dear brother, under attack from hell. Dear sister, when your confidence in God is being attacked in every way, hold fast the hope, the great future, the blessed prospect that lies out before you. Don't be losing it. Dark days, difficult days, problems of every kind. Oh, hold fast the profession of faith without wavering. Not because I've got the courage to do it. No, it won't do. It's because he is faithful as promised. The faithfulness of God is a guarantee that my hopes will not be dashed. The faithfulness of God is the guarantee that all that bright and blessed future that lies out before us, bound up in the coming again of the Lord Jesus, that will not be a vain hope. It's anchored, and it's anchored within the veil. Let us hold it fast. Take a grip on yourself now. You know there's times we all have got to take a grip on ourselves. Steady up now. Steady up. God is faithful. No matter how dark the day is, no matter how difficult the day is, God is faithful. Then thirdly, I take it that we would need to learn some lessons. And the last exhortation is, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love, unto good works. What has happened to us, brethren? What has got into us? Can I not find something in you to love? Am I going to be sad all my life? What has happened to us? Can I not study you and see where I can help you? Could I not provoke you to love? Could I not stir up something in your bosom? I know that there's things about us all that give offense. But brethren, we would need to learn lessons on love. We would need to learn something of provoking, of stirring that up in each other. Stirring it up in each other. Looking out for something that I could do for you. And you can look out for something that you could do for me. And when it's all over, I'll be able to say, you know, I love that brother. I love that sister. Not just a matter of mere sentimentality. We ought to be studying each other. Consider one another. To provoke unto love. You know, at times we hear the complaint, you know, there's not much love in our company. There's something wrong. There's not the love that there ought to be. Well, let me see that I'm going to promote it. Let it be my responsibility to provoke it. To stir it up. To provoke unto love. To provoke unto love. Abraham loved Lot, you know. I often think of Joseph. And he loved his brethren. And he loved his brethren because he loved his father Jacob. That's why he loved his brethren. He that loveth him that begat. And that's God. We love him. He brought us into his family. He that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Joseph loved his brethren because he loved his father. A forgiving spirit. A graciousness. Oh, I know that he brought them through all those trying experiences. I know that he drew from them, and he was able to move in such a way as to bring them to acknowledge their guilt and their sin and their failure, and to hate it and to never again lapse into that kind of thing that marked them in the past. But he loved them. He loved them. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And lastly, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. You know, when days are difficult and the pressure was increasing and the sufferings were intensifying, the danger was to forsake each other. It happened in China. It happened in China not long ago. Our brother John Short told us that the saints, under pressure, betrayed each other. And it's hardly likely now that they've been brought out of jail, and the jails are all opened, and the saints are all freed again. He said we cannot get a trust, a confidence in each other. Oh, that happens. Brethren, the conditions are difficult. When the suffering intensifies, it's easy just to drift away. I don't want to meet the Christians. I don't want to support them. I don't want to be among their company. I know that there's a serious matter in this, but I'm just using it in a practical way. I know that not forsaking the assembling of themselves together meant that they were going back to Judaism. There's a fatal thing in that. But just look at it in an ordinary way, brethren. Belfast. What's it like? Go to a prayer meeting. How many will you find? A dozen. Come to a Bible reading. Maybe just the same amount. We have reached a stage where, if it suits me, if I can take it in the stride, I'll go to the meeting. And what a discouragement it is, brethren, to the few that are trying to maintain the testimony. What a discouragement. And I don't know how you look at the expression, the much more as you see the day approaching. But just take it in the light of the Lord's coming. The much more as you see the day approaching. I'm sorry that so many are building houses now away out of the city. I have no fault with that, you know. I have no errand here behind these microphones to criticize my brethren. I don't know what prompted them to go away from Belfast, to go away from the assemblies. I don't know. But brethren, it's a great discouragement when you're not at the meetings. When you're not there, and there are others trying to maintain the testimony, trying to pray, trying to read their Bibles, and you're not there. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, and the much more. I'll put more into it then, brethren. If the days get difficult, I've got to put more into it. And the much more, as you see the day approaching. May the Lord bless us.